chilling the church out the side door. And if you're, I hope you got a Bible. If you didn't get a Bible, our ushers got one. Just take one and turn it over to Mark chapter number 2. I'll give you page numbers. You can follow along here and follow right along with us as we look here in Mark chapter number 2. If you feel physically able to, can you stand for the reading of the Word of God here in Mark chapter number 2? I want to start in verse number 13, read down through verse number 17 here together. Mark 2, starting in verse 13, it says, "And he went forth again by the seaside, and all the multitude resorted unto him, and he taught them. And he passed by, and as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the receipt of custom, and said unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat in his house, many publicans and sinners sat also together with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many, and they followed him. And when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eat with publicans and sinners, they said unto his disciples, How is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? When Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, They that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you help us as we look here in these few verses that you've given us in your holy record. Lord, help us to see and understand exactly what you want us to know here from these verses together. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you and be seated. I'm so glad you're here with us this morning. We returned to our study of Mark last week and the week before. We took off those weeks from our study, a verse-by-verse study here in the Gospel of Mark, just to think about the resurrection. Think about the fact that Jesus came to die for our sins, and that he didn't stay dead. He's alive today. He's come out of the grave, and we praise the Lord for that. Certainly, that's the single most important day in all of history there. And it's strange to me to find why some churches and many people would focus on the Easter Bunny on Resurrection Day. Why don't we focus on the greatest thing, the person of Jesus Christ? I think that's where our focus ought to be here on Resurrection Sunday, certainly, instead of all the things that that the world tends to focus on. But here in the Gospel of Mark, where we see this morning, is that Jesus is on a mission. Matter of fact, we've seen it already a couple times in the Gospel of Mark as we've been going through and studying it, that Jesus has his thoughts. He has something that he wants to accomplish. He has something that he's there to fulfill. And so I've just titled the message here this morning, The Mission of the Master. The Mission of the Master. Matter of fact, all the Gospels really show us this or bring out the mission of the person of Jesus Christ. For instance, in Mark chapter number 10, in verse number 45, you might flip over there. We are real close here, but it says, "For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister," now here it is, "and to give his life as a ransom for many." That is, he is there he's on a mission to give his life as a ransom for many. The Gospel of Luke tells us in Luke chapter 19, in verse number 10, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." The Bible tells us in John chapter number 3, in verse number 14, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." Matthew chapter number 1, verse number 21, the passage that tells us about the birth of Jesus Christ as the angel appears to Joseph, and he says, the angel tells Joseph, "She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin." That's the mission of the person of Jesus Christ. That's why he came, to be that ransom, to be that savior, to be the one who would save us from our sins. That's the mission that Jesus Christ came with. Can I say this? He did not come with a mission to be a great teacher, although Jesus was no doubt the greatest teacher ever in this that this world's ever seen. He did not come to be a miracle worker, although the miracles that he did proved the fact of who Jesus was, the very Son of God. He did not come to be an example, although the example of Jesus Christ showed us a life that could be lived, that was dedicated to the person of God that way. But he did not come for that reason there. Jesus came to meet the spiritual needs of all men, and that is the way of salvation that can only be, that is only through the person of Jesus Christ. And so here it is, as we look in our text this morning, we're going to see here in this verse, starting off the bat in verse number 13, we're going to see Jesus is still on this mission. Jesus is still carrying forth this mission. And so we see in verse number 13 there, the multitude that is by the seashore. The multitude that's by the seashore. Look at verse number 13. It says, and he went forth again by the, here it is, by the seaside. Now, if you remember from our study, this has been a couple, 3 weeks ago, and so maybe you've forgotten, but back in Mark chapter number 2, we see in verse number 1 that Jesus was again entering into Capernaum. This is a home base. This is an area that he will kind of work out of here in this area of Capernaum that way. And so when he's by the seaside, he's walking by the sea of sea that's off the shores of Capernaum. That's where he is. That's where he's located here. And the Bible says all the multitude, verse number 13 again, all the multitude resorted unto him and he taught them. Now, so the Bible says this multitude, this great group of people there, they are resorting unto him. Now, what does that mean? Well, the word resort means that they simply were coming to him. They were coming from really all walks of life. They were looking for the person of Jesus Christ. Now, in reality, they're probably looking for miracles. Matter of fact, in Jesus' ministry, that's what he's been known for here at the beginning of his ministry, here in the Gospel of Mark, all these miracles of which he has been doing. We looked in Mark chapter number 1 as we came through it, and what did Jesus do? Jesus was just doing miracle after miracle after miracle. We see in verses 21 down through verse number 28 in chapter number 1, he cast a demon out of a man that was there. And in verses number 29 through verse number 31, he's healing Peter's mother-in-law there. In verse number 32 down to verse number 34, he's casting out many that are taken with a devil that way. He's also healing many people that come to him. Matter of fact, staying up way late into the night to be able to do all of those things. Verses 40 through verse 45, he's healing a leper. And so what do we see? We see over and over and over and over again, Jesus is doing all these miracles. Chapter number 2, he's healing a man who can't walk, a palsied man that way. And so as now he's walking by the seashore and the multitudes have caught wind of where Jesus is, what's happening? Everybody's coming out to him. Everybody's trying to find him. And no doubt they're looking for some of these miracles. And no doubt in this multitude of people that have come, there's many people who have a need, maybe a health need, or probably others are just wanting to see the show, if you will, of what happens. But I want you to see here in verse number 13 where it tells us he's not doing miracles. He's not healing the sick. He's not casting out demons here in verse number 13. Look what he's doing in verse number 13. The Bible says, and he taught them. What is he doing? Can I tell you this? He's doing the most important thing. That's what he's doing. He taught them. There may have been people who needed physical healing, but you know what they needed more than physical healing? They need to be taught the truth of the Word of God. That's what they needed more than anything else. And Jesus was doing that thing that was needful. Look back in Mark chapter number 1. Look at verse number 38 here in this text. Peter's caught up to him, and Peter said, hey, Jesus, where you been? There's all kinds of people looking for you to do miracles. That's what he was saying. But look what he says in verse 38. He said unto them, let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also. For therefore came I forth. Why did Jesus come? What is the mission of the person of Jesus Christ? To go forth preaching and teaching the Word of God. To be able to get people to understand the truth of Jesus Christ. That's Jesus' main mission. That's what he's doing. And we could say even more specifically that Jesus came to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. The word gospel literally means a good news. Can I tell you this? We can give men a whole bunch of things. For instance, we can give them food. We can give them clothing. We can give them maybe rental assistance so they can find a place to live and things that way. And I'm not saying there's not a place for all those things, but I am saying this. Unless we give them the gospel of Jesus Christ, we've fallen short of what they really need. Every person in the world needs to hear, needs to know what is in Christ alone, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to see this here, that look in Mark chapter number 1 and look at verse number 15. Look at verse number 15. Well, start in verse number 14. Mark 1 and verse number 14. It says this. Now, after that, John was put in prison. Jesus came into Galilee preaching. Now, here it is. Preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. So as Jesus came into this region, what was he preaching? The gospel of the kingdom of God. Now, I want you to see verse number 15. And saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Now, here's what he's telling them. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Believe the gospel. See this message, the gospel of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Here it is. He's telling you, you need to believe this. You need to understand this message. Why? Because it's the most important message everywhere. It's in the most important message that anybody could ever know. This person of Jesus Christ, what he did for them on the cross of Calvary so that they could have eternal life. We've got to know that. Now, we're going to come back to this in just a second, but move on. I want you to see after here this teaching that's going on. Look at verse number 14 back in our text. Mark chapter number 2 and verse number 14. It says here, and as he passed by, that is, Jesus is probably moving. It would have been common at this day for Jesus to be teaching while moving. We don't do that so much today. I'm kind of limited to our stage here. And if I just walked over and I was just kind of going down the road, you guys probably say, what in the world is he doing? But that would not have been common for Jesus. It would have been common for the teacher to move as he was teaching. And so as he passed by the way, the Bible says here, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at receipt of custom and said unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. Verse 13, we see the multitude that finds him by the sea. In verse number 14, we see the meeting that takes place with the Savior. The meeting that takes place with the Savior. And this is a man named Levi, the text tells us. Now, we know that this man Levi is also the same person that we know more familiarly by calling him Matthew. He's the writer of the Gospel of Matthew. In Matthew chapter number 9, in verse number 9, don't turn over there, but you have almost word for word the same thing that you have in verse 14 here of our text. It's almost word for word, except it doesn't say Levi is there. It says Matthew is there. Why? Because they're the same person. Matthew is the Greek name, while Levi is the Jewish name of this individual here. Now, I want you to see a couple of things. First of all, that Levi or Matthew, whatever you want to term him as or call him as, he catches the attention of the Lord. He catches the attention of the Lord. The Bible says he's passing by and he saw Levi. He saw Levi. Now, I want you to know, I'm so glad that Jesus is caught, that Jesus sees me, that Jesus' attention is on me. That is, in the busyness of what Jesus is doing, with the multitudes following after him, he zeroes in and he sees one individual. Yeah, I'm so glad that no matter how busy Jesus is, he sees me. I'm so glad that the eyes of the Lord fall upon me no matter what's going on in all of the world. He sees me. Hold your place here in Mark. Look in Proverbs chapter number 15. Page 682 if you have one of the Bibles handed out to you. 682 in Proverbs chapter number 15. Look at verse number 3. Page 682 in Proverbs 15 in verse number 3. Look what the Bible says. What a great verse. The eyes of the Lord, the Bible tells us here in verse 3, Proverbs 15, verse 3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place. In other words, what does Jesus see? What does God see? Everything, everything. But look what he points out to us here. It says, beholding the evil. That is, watch out, God sees if we're not doing right. God sees the evil. But not only does God see the evil, the Bible says here, and the good. No matter who you are, no matter what you're doing, God sees it. Just understand that. God knows it. Nothing gets by his eye. Look over in the book of Psalms, right before here, the book of Proverbs. Psalm 139. Look at verse number 7. Page 667. 667 in Psalm 139. And look at verse number 7. The Bible says here, whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? The answer there is nowhere. Nowhere. You're not going to flee the presence of God. He says here, if I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me and thy right hand shall hold me. That is this, no matter where you are, no matter what you're doing, can I say this to you? You're special to God and he sees you. He sees you. Boy, Levi or Matthew is here in the middle of all this group of people. And God zeroes in, Jesus zeroes in on him and says, I see you. You're taking my attention. I see what's going on. So we see the attention of the Lord on the person of Matthew or the person of Levi here. Come back to Mark chapter number 2. I want you to see, secondly, the call of the Lord. There's the attention of the Lord, but there's also the call of the Lord that goes on here to the person of Matthew. Look again in verse number 14 here in our text. It says, and as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the receipt of custom and said unto him, now here's his call, follow me, follow me. Jesus is inviting Matthew. Matthew, would you follow me? Now, if you remember from our study from chapter number 1, this would be several weeks ago, really a couple months ago that we were here in chapter number 1, we see that Jesus issues 2 calls to men today. He issues, number 1, the call of salvation. Now, if you go back to Mark chapter number 1, those verses that we looked at just a minute ago, in Mark chapter 1, look at verse number 14. It says, now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, saying, here it is, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye, there's the call. Repent ye and believe the gospel. You know what that is? That's the call of salvation. That's what's going on. He says, believe this gospel message that will bring salvation. The way that you can have the forgiveness of your sins, the gift of salvation, is by believing the gospel message. Now here it is. Understand, the gospel message is the most important message anybody can know. Hold your place in Mark. Turn over to Romans chapter number 1. Romans chapter number 1. In Romans chapter number 1, look at verse number 16, page 1192. 1192, Romans chapter number 1 and verse number 16. The Bible says this in Romans 1 and verse number 16, for I am not ashamed, now here it is, of the what? Gospel of Christ. This is what Jesus was preaching in Mark chapter number 1. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto what? Salvation. To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So the Bible says here very clearly that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. The word salvation here is bringing out the idea of salvation from our sins. The penalty of sin is death. You see, everybody needs to be saved. Everybody needs to be saved. Why? Romans 3:23 says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Not some have sinned, all have sinned. I've sinned, you've sinned, we've all sinned. Now, I grant you, some people are worse sinners in my eyes. But in God's eyes, guess what? He sees us, we're all sinners. Doesn't matter if we're little big sinners or big sinners, God says, you're just a sinner. See, that's what God sees. That's what God knows. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Ezekiel chapter number 18, verse number 20 would tell us this. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. See, that's the penalty that we have hanging over us. We've sinned, we've disobeyed God's laws and commandments, and so what does he say? Here it is, you've got a penalty for that. The penalty is death. My friend, that's the whole reason Jesus Christ came. That's the whole reason, the fact that he came to the cross. That's what we celebrate in his death and then subsequent resurrection. We say that Jesus came to give us eternal life. My friend, the bad news is that we're a sinner and we deserve to die and be eternally separated from God. But the good news is the gospel message of Jesus Christ. Look over in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, page 1225. 1225, 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. Look what the Bible says here in verse number 1. 1 Corinthians 15 in verse number 1, page 1225, the Bible says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the what? All right, so he says, I'm about to tell. I'm going to declare. I'm going to show you or tell you, I should say, what the gospel message is. He says, which I preached unto you, which also received, wherein ye stand. But notice the verse 2. by which also ye are saved. How were they saved? By the gospel message. He says, you heard this message, you received this message, you were saved by this message. You have a home in heaven, not because of some other message, but because of this message specifically, the gospel message. Now look in verse number 3, because he begins to delineate. He begins to tell us exactly what the gospel message is. He says in verse number 3, for I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures. Hey, the gospel is a three-part message. Part number 1 is this: Christ died for our sins. That's the first part. Look at the second part, verse number 4. And that he was buried. That's the second part of the gospel. And then the third part, and that he rose again the third day according to the scripture. All right, what's the gospel message? The fact that Christ died for our sins, the fact that he was buried, the fact that he rose again the third day. That's the gospel message. So this gospel message is the thing that saves an individual. This is the power of God to salvation, Romans chapter number 1 would say. If we would come to believe, if we come to receive it. See, if you remember back in Mark chapter number 1, verse 15, Jesus was preaching, repent ye and believe the gospel. That's what he said, believe the gospel. Would you come to believe this message? Message what? That Christ died for everything you did wrong. Christ died for our sins. That he was buried. What'd that prove? That he actually died. But my friend, what's the message of Easter? What's the message of the resurrection? The fact that he didn't stay dead. The fact that he came out of that grave. The fact that he's alive today. The fact here, get this, that he conquered sin. The fact that he conquered death. The fact that he's over those things. The fact that his sacrifice that he paid for us on the cross of Calvary is accepted by God. How do you know? Because he's alive today. See, I know all of those things. I can see all that. I can understand all of that truth because Jesus paid for everything that I ever did wrong. And my friend, when I come to believe his payment, what he did for me on the cross of Calvary, God gives me what he calls often in the Bible, salvation. It's the gift of eternal life, a home in heaven. My friend, it's only because of what Jesus did. So many people think, well, I'll be a good person and I'll do this or A, B, C, whatever things. And those things will give me help. No, no, no. It's what Jesus did for me. My friend, that's the call of salvation. Believe the gospel. Believe what Jesus did to get you to heaven. That's coming to Jesus. Matter of fact, look at John chapter number 6. John chapter number 6, page 1123. That's coming to Jesus. John chapter number 6. In verse number 35, look here in John 6, in verse number 35, page 1123, where the Bible says this, John 6, in verse number 35, Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of, all right, he's the one who gives life, and isn't he? Because he died for our sins, he certainly is. I am the bread of life, he says, he that cometh, now get this, I want you to see this, he that cometh to me, the Bible says, shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. All right, what is the issue of salvation? What is the call of salvation? To come to Jesus. Believe what Jesus did for you on the cross of Calvary. That's the call of salvation. Matter of fact, we see it again. Look in Revelation chapter number 22. Last book in your Bible, probably the last page of your Bible. Revelation 22, verse number 17. Page 1353, if you have one of the Bibles handed out to you. In Revelation chapter number 22, look at verse number 17. Now look what the Bible says. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. What is that? It's an invitation. Would you come? He says, and let him that heareth say what? Another invitation. And let him that is athirst, what? Come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. The water of life that only Jesus can give. How do I get it? Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. That's the whole way. That's the only way. At Titus chapter number 3, verse number 5 would tell us that it's not by works of righteousness which we have done. It's not by our accomplishments. It's not by our works that we can possibly get to heaven. It is by the mercy of God that he sent Jesus Christ to die for our sins on the cross of Calvary. That's the only way that you're going to have salvation. But my friend, anybody can answer the call of salvation. Anyone can answer the come to Jesus. Anyone. What does the Bible say? Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It is not a specific call to say, hey, you better meet the qualifications. You got to do A, B, C, D, and E there, and then you can have salvation. No. Anybody can believe on Jesus Christ, and anybody can be saved. But here in Mark chapter number 2, back in our text, you notice this is not a call of salvation. He says in Mark chapter number 2, here's the call, follow me. He didn't say come to me, he said follow me. This is not a call of salvation, rather it's a call of service. That is, following Jesus is all about serving Jesus. It's all about, in other texts we find this, bearing your cross. Now let me say, bearing your cross is all about work. It's all about striving. It's all about obeying. And that's what Matthew or Levi, however you want to take his name here in the text, that's what he's doing. He's saying, boy, I'm being called to follow after Jesus. I'm being called to a life of service. Look over in the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter number 9. In Luke chapter number 9, we have three individuals who are called to follow Jesus. They're called to a life of service, serving the person of Jesus Christ. Luke chapter number 9, page 1087. We find that these three individuals are called, but it seems from, at least from the context, that these people don't answer the call. They don't answer the call. They think it's too costly, too hard to be able to follow Jesus. Look what he says in verse number 57, Luke chapter 9, verse 57. It came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. So here's a man who volunteers. He signs up. Boy, give me the recruitment papers, and I'm ready to just sign away. Here's my life. I'll follow you. And look what Jesus says to him, verse number 58. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. In other words, are you sure about this? You know, if you follow me, it's not going to be a life of glamour and glitz. You follow me and you're not going to sleep in the same place. Matter of fact, I'm not guaranteeing pillows here. I'm not guaranteeing blankets here. I'm not guaranteeing any of those things. You might have them some days, you might not have them some days, but that's the call to follow me. And the indication, although we don't have it explicitly put here, the indication is that guy says, oh, well, don't know that I want to do that. Man, that's maybe a little bit more than I bargained for. I don't know if I want to go that far. Look, there's a second guy. Look in verse number 59. He said to another, so this is Jesus looking at another guy, follow me. Again, the call is issued. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. And so this guy says, hey, I'll follow you. Hey, that sounds like a great idea. I'll do that. But I've got some things I've got to do first. Now, when he says this, that he's going to go bury his father, we look at that and say, well, he's got to go do a funeral service. Yeah, I'll get back to you here in a couple days, and I'll go follow you. No. What it's probably meaning more the idea of, I have to wait till my dad dies. You know, he's 65 and in good health. And so when he dies, then I'll go follow you. No. The call to follow Jesus is a call to come right now. Right now. He talks about a third guy. Look at verse 60. Oh, Jesus answers that guy, I should say. Let the dead bury the dead. Go thou and preach the kingdom of God. In other words, don't wait. Let's get involved right now. Verse 61, now he sees a third guy. Another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. In other words, let me go say bye to everybody. That's what he's saying. Verse 62, Jesus said to him, no man, now look at this, having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. In other words, hey, decide you're going to serve Jesus and decide I'm going to do it no matter what. Hey, if I'm looking back, I'm saying, boy, what does my family think about it? What do my friends think about it? Boy, are they going to be happy with me? Are they thinking this is a good decision? I'm just saying I'm going to serve Jesus no matter what. That's what Jesus is telling these guys. Hey, we want to serve Jesus. And I'm wondering, are we willing to pay the cost to be a servant? Are we willing to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? It may cost us money. It may cost us our position. It sometimes costs us ridicule. Sometimes it costs us a host of other things there to be a servant of Jesus Christ, to follow this call, to come after him that way. And yet God is issuing the call to everyone who has believed on him. Those who have answered the call of salvation, he now issues a second call. Would you serve me? Would you follow after me? Would you be willing to pay the cost? My friends, so many people today are not willing to pay the cost. So many people are these people in John chapter number 9, and they come up with an excuse and say, well, I'll do it later. Maybe let me just do this first. I don't know about this, Jesus. I don't know about sleeping in different places. I don't know about all the, you see, the people that are called the missionaries in Africa. We always use Africa for whatever some reason there. But we think, boy, you'll be in Africa and you'll be sleeping with monkeys there and you'll have to have malaria and you have to go through all. I mean, that's kind of what comes up in our mind that way. I'm just saying this here. Hey, the missionaries who go to Africa and sleep with monkeys and get malaria are doing it. Why? Because they're answering the call to serve Jesus. And it's fine with them. They're okay. By the way, if you answer the call to serve Jesus, he more than likely in these days, in 2024, is not going to call you to Africa to sleep with monkeys and get malaria, okay? We have things around that today, houses and such. But I'm just saying, Jesus is saying, are you willing to pay the cost? When he calls Matthew, follow me. Follow me. Want you to pay the cost. Want you to be willing to do that. My friend, can I tell you, the Apostle Paul was willing to pay the cost. Philippians chapter 1, verse number 21, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Philippians 3 and verse number 14, Apostle Paul would say, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He says, well, I'm striving to do what God would have me to do. That's what I'm looking to do. Galatians chapter number 2 and verse number 20, the Apostle Paul would say, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul said, hey, my whole life is about giving it over to Christ. Matthew, in our text here, as he's called to follow Jesus Christ, can I tell you this? He would have to be giving up a lot. The tax collector in that day, that's who he was. He was a publican, a tax collector. In that day, he would rent out a space from the Roman government. That's what he would do. And he would come into a thoroughfare, you know, a place that commerce was coming in and out. And he would position himself and say, hey, everyone that is doing any trade, any business, he would have to come by me. So the fishermen from the sea, this is where Jesus is, right? He's walking by the seashore. And so he sees Matthew. And so the fishermen coming from the sea, in order to be able to get out of town or go to sell their fish, what do? They have to come by Matthew's place. The people who are trying to do other type of commerce, that is bringing in from the ships there, and they're bringing trade goods that way. Well, they have to come by Matthew. So he's got a prime location there to be able to tax everybody. And yet Jesus says, follow me. And what's Matthew going to do? He's going to give up his prime location. The location that really, get it, earned him lots of money. Because you know what a publican did in that day? They took the taxes or whatever they could get for the taxes. They paid off their rent to Rome, and whatever's left over was theirs. You know what that meant? They taxed whatever they felt like. And matter of fact, you might bring a fish today, and he might say, 10 cents a fish. Let's go, fork it over. But you might come tomorrow, and he says, 15 cents a fish. You say, whoa, 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 whoa. it was just 10 cents a minute ago, you know, or yesterday. Why is it 15 today? Because I feel like it. Well, I don't want to pay 15 cents. This Roman soldiers right here tells you better pay 15 cents. See, I've got the backing of the Roman government. And just whatever Matthew felt like. I tell you what, I'm not big on the IRS. Probably I don't think anybody is. You know, they take our money, and they're backed by the federal government to do that. But anyways, I'm not big on the IRS. But I'm so glad that they don't change the rules every day. But Matthew could. He could do that. He had the backing of Rome to do that. And yet he's going to forget or forsake all of those things. Look in Luke chapter number 5. Luke chapter number 5. This is the same story, only in Luke's gospel. Look in Luke chapter number 5, and look at verse number 27. Look what the Bible says. Luke chapter number 5, and verse number 27. It says, "And after these things, he went forth and saw a publican named Levi." This is our guy. That's who we're talking about here, Matthew. "Sitting at the seat of custom, and he said unto him, Follow me." All right, we've seen that already in the Gospel of Luke. Now, look at verse number 28, because there's a phrase I want you to see. First phrase is this: "And he left all." You know what following Jesus is all about? Leaving all for him. I'm not telling him that he's going to tell you to quit your job. I'm not telling him that he's going to say, hey, it's time to leave your family. I'm not telling you he's going to say any of those things, but I am telling you this. It's saying, Jesus is most important in my life, and everything else pales. Everything else is not worth it. He's in that prime position. Levi is a rich man because he's scalping his people, the Israelites, because of the way he's taxing and everything. And yet he says, I'll give it all up. We find other places in Scripture, sometimes Jesus says, hey, you think you're so great? Why don't you just give all your money away to feed the poor and follow me? I'm just saying, probably if I was to ask you at the beginning of our message here this morning, I said, boy, how many of you want to serve Jesus? I would imagine that most hands would go up. Maybe all hands would go up. But my friend, once you think about it, are you ready to pay the cost? Are you ready to say, Jesus, I'll serve you no matter what? It's a light thing. I'm not trying to compare it to anything. I'm just saying. I came down here to South Carolina. I moved here in the year 2000 and to come and work here at the church and serve here at the church. And I'm glad I did, and the Lord's taken care of me all through it, and I'm not regretting anything, okay? But in order to come here, I had to give up Italian beef sandwiches. I just want you to know that. I come from Chicago, and in Chicago, we know how to eat. And there were certain things that you just get in Chicago. One of those things, my favorite, was an Italian beef sandwich. And I'll be honest with you, now I've been here 24 years. I think I've had like 4 Italian beef sandwiches in the 24 years I've been here. And I haven't had them here. I've had to go somewhere else to go find them that way. And, you know, I go to McAllister's and they have this fake thing called a beef sandwich, but it's not Chicago beef. Anyways, but I'm just saying, and I'm just telling you, it's a light thing. It's no big deal. But sometimes Jesus has us give up things. Are you willing to give up to be a servant of Jesus Christ? Giving up a beef sandwich is nothing compared to giving up my livelihood like Matthew did. Because he's ready to serve Jesus. I'm just wondering, are we ready to serve Jesus? Come back to Mark chapter number 2. We've got to move on quickly. There's a multitude by the sea. There's a meeting with the Savior. And thirdly, I see this. There's a meal for sinners. There's a meal for sinners. Look at Mark chapter number 2. Page 1047, if you've lost your way there. Verse 15, it says here, "It came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat in his house, many publicans and sinners sat also together with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many, and they followed him. There was many. What did Matthew do? It seems like he almost throws a retirement party. He says, I'm getting out of the business, all right? And because I'm getting out of the business, I'm inviting all my friends and all my loved ones over. And so he's got a house full here in his house. He's throwing a party there. And I'll tell you what, he's not throwing the party for himself. Matter of fact, you look here in the text, and Matthew's not the middle of this. Levi's not the middle of this. You know who the middle of this is? Jesus Christ. He's saying, hey, I'm giving up. I'm following Jesus. And here's what I want to do. I want to invite all my friends over so they can meet Jesus. So they can see Jesus. Can I tell you? He's following Jesus. Why do I know he's following Jesus? He wants everybody else to meet Jesus. You know, one sign that a person's following Jesus is that they want other people to meet Jesus. What did Jesus say to his disciples in Matthew chapter number 4 and verse number 19? He said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Can I tell you what? If you're not fishing for men, you're probably not a disciple. You're probably not a follower of Jesus. You're probably not that individual. Because he says, hey, if you're going to be my disciple, if you're going to follow me, I'm going to make you fishers of men. When's the last time you gave out a tract? When's the last time you stopped to talk to somebody about Jesus? When's the last time you invited somebody to church where they might hear the message of Jesus Christ? I'm just telling you, Matthew throws this party, and he invites everybody over, and he's doing that specifically so that people there could meet Jesus, so they could hear about Jesus. I'm just asking you, do you have a burden for the lost? Do you have a burden for the lost? Hold your place in Mark, because we'll come right back there. But go over to Romans chapter number 9. Romans chapter number 9, and look at verse number 2. Romans chapter number 9 and verse number 2. Here we see the Apostle Paul. He's writing to the Romans, but he says something specific. He gives his own heart. He bears his own heart here in this letter to the Roman people. And he says here in Romans chapter 9 and verse number 2, he says, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. Boy, his heart is heavy. That's what he's saying here. Look in verse number 3. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Why is his heart burdened? Because he wants to see his own people. He wants to see the other Jews that are around. He wants to see them come to know Christ as Savior. But Paul knew this, and Paul understood this. By and large, the Jewish people were rejecting the person of Jesus Christ. And he said, boy, I wish I could do anything. Matter of fact, he says, I wish I could be accursed. Literally, I wish I could go to hell so that they could go to heaven. See, he has a burden to reach these people. Look at chapter number 10. Look at verse number 1. Chapter number 10, verse number 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. I'm just saying the Apostle Paul had a burden to reach people, do we? Matthew's got a burden to reach people, do we? We need to be doing everything in our power to reach people. That's what a person who's following Jesus does. Come back to Mark chapter number 2. We see a multitude by the sea, a meeting with the Savior. We see this meal for sinners that is thrown. And then verse number 16 and 17, we see this, the message to the self-righteous. Look at verse 16. It says here, and when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eat with publicans and sinners, they said unto his disciples, how is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? In other words, what in the world is this guy doing? How in the world is he hobnobbing with these people? Matter of fact, the emphasis here, three times here in this passage, in verse 15 and verse number 16, three times we have this label, publicans and sinners. Publicans and sinners. Publicans and sinners. That is, the emphasis here in this passage is, these are a bunch of people who are sinners. These are a bunch of people who are not living godly lives in any way, shape, or form. They're publicans who are stealing from their own people, like Matthew was stealing from his own people. That's what all of these people are. And yet Jesus says, when they criticize, when they're coming to the disciples and say, how is it that your master is sitting with these types of people? Look what Jesus says. And here it is, the mission of the Master. Look at verse 17. When Jesus heard it, he said unto them, they that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance. Sinners to repentance. I'm just telling you, there was murmuring going on by the scribes and Pharisees, and yet I'm so happy that there's one who is saying, I'm going to get a little dirty. I'm going to sit with the publicans and sinners. I don't mind to do that. And Jesus would come to the sinners, to the publicans, to those people. He would associate with those people. Why? Because he knew those people needed a Savior. And he's telling them. He's coming to them. Luke chapter number 7, because of time, we won't turn there. Verse number 34, the Son of Man, the Bible says, is come eating and drinking. And you say, behold, now here's the charge against him. Behold, a gluttonous man and a wine bibber and a friend of publicans and sinners. I'll tell you what, he was no gluttonous man. Wrong on that charge. He was no wine bibber. Wrong on that charge. But I'll tell you what, on the charge of friends to publicans and sinners, bingo, you got him, you nailed him, that's who Jesus is. He's a friend to them. Matter of fact, he's so much of a friend, the Bible says he would lay down his life for them. Romans chapter number 5, verse number 8, but God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's what he did. But these scribes and these Pharisees are self-righteous. They thought, hey, we're not part of that group. We're not like the publicans. Oh, we're not like the sinners. Oh, no, no, we don't need a Savior. They thought they were good enough to be able to get to heaven. My friend, Matthew chapter number 5, in verse number 20, Jesus speaking in the Sermon on the Mount, he says these words, except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. That is, Jesus says, you know what? You want to know how good you have to be able to get to heaven? You got to be better than the scribes and Pharisees. Even as good as they were, even as much as they looked like they had it all together, even as much as they wanted to claim that they weren't sinners, Jesus says, hey, you want to get to heaven? You got to be even better than them. Why? Because the standard to get in heaven is perfection and nobody's met it. Not the scribes, not the Pharisees, and not you and me. Nobody has. And these scribes and Pharisees have come short of God's standard. Nobody measures up to God's standard. So there's a murmuring that goes on. And Jesus then gives this illustration. He gives an illustration about doctors. He says in verse number 17, those that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. In other words, the illustration simply being, if you don't have anything wrong with you, you don't have to go to the doctor. Right? Because why? You go to the doctor when you're sick. You don't go to the doctor and say, hey, doc, just haven't seen you for a while, and, you know, I just thought I'd come and just share some time with you. And doctor says, fine, that's no problem. I'm charging $300 an hour, and so, hey, how do you want to talk? You know, we can do that. And you don't do that. But when you got this cold that's just wearing you down, or this sinus infection, and you need an antibiotic or something like that, now you go to the doctor when you're sick that way. And the truth of the matter is here, Jesus is illustrating a point that they need to get across, that these scribes and Pharisees need to understand, and that is that all people are sick and need a doctor. The problem with the scribes and Pharisees is here, they didn't realize they were sick. They were acting like sometimes us guys do. You know, we're all sick and we're coughing like that. And what's our wife tell us? Better go to the doctor. Better go to the doctor. You say, I'm not sick. I'm fine. No, I don't need to go to the doctor. And you know, we go next, you know, we're keeping her up at night. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. We're, you know, we're coughing. Well, you better go to the doctor tomorrow. You know, you better go see the doctor. I'm not sick. I'm fine. You know, that's what we want to admit, right? Or that's what we want to claim. But our wife knows better, doesn't she? She said, hey, buddy, you're sick. Go see the doctor. You know what was going on with these scribes and Pharisees? They didn't think they were sick. They didn't realize they were sick. They didn't realize they needed a Savior. Sometimes we say it this way. We say, you have to get a person lost before you can get them saved. Now, let me say, theologically, that's wrong. Every man is born a sinner, lost, away from God. Okay, so theologically, that's wrong. But what we're saying when we say that is this. They have to realize they're lost. My friend, you'll never get saved until you first realize you need to be saved. You'll never trust Jesus Christ as your Savior until you realize that you need a Savior, until you realize that you're lost. And so Jesus tells them here at the end of this verse, I came not to call the righteous. If you're perfect, you don't need me. And you don't. The only problem is there's nobody perfect. But he says, I came not to call the righteous, but here it is, sinners to repentance. That word repentance simply means to a change of mind. That's what repentance means. Sometimes we attach a lot of different definitions. Can I tell you those are wrong definitions, biblically speaking. Biblically speaking, what is repentance? It's a change of mind. And what's he telling them? He's saying, you need to change your mind about what it takes to go to heaven. He's calling them to this change of mind. That is, realize there's only one way to get to heaven, and that's through the person of Jesus Christ. There's no other way. There's no other way. You can try A, B, C, D, whatever you want to list. Unless you're going through the person of Jesus Christ, you're going to come up short. You're going to fail. You're going to fail. Hey, come to change your mind. These Pharisees, these scribes, you know what? They need to change their mind. About what? They thought, God's going to take me to heaven because I'm so good. You better change your mind. Realize you're not so good. And that you need a Savior. It's the person of Jesus Christ. Maybe these sinners, these publicans, they need to come to a change of mind about what? Maybe they thought, I'm so bad I can't get to heaven. No, change your mind. That's why Jesus came. He came to bring you salvation. He came to bring you a home in heaven. Whatever you're thinking that's wrong, come to think right, biblically speaking, and believe on Jesus Christ. That's repentance. That's what he's doing. He's calling the world to that. Hey, you talk about the ministry, the mission of the person of Jesus Christ. What's it all about? Win people to the Savior. When Matthew came in contact with the person of Jesus Christ, he says, I'm going to follow you. What did his mission become? I want to bring people to Jesus. I want to bring people to Jesus. My friend, would Jesus' mission be our mission? Would we want to bring people to Jesus in everything we do? That's a person who's following him. That's what we ought to be. Hey, if you answered the call of salvation, if not, today's the day of salvation. If you have you answered the call of service? Are you following him like he'd have you to? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the scriptures. Lord, I thank you so much that we have Jesus. Lord, that gave his life that we might have eternal life. That we might have a home in heaven. Lord, there is no other way. Jesus, the Bible tells us, Jesus spoke it, that he's the way, truth, and life. No man comes to the Father, but through him, through what Jesus did for us on the cross of Calvary. And Lord, I thank you that that invitation of salvation is available to all. Anyone can come to you. And Lord, I pray that they would. Maybe you're here this morning while your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed. Maybe you're here and you'd say, Pastor, I've not answered that call of salvation. That is, I've never come to believe on Jesus Christ, that he's died for my sins, that he gave me eternal life because he loved me. And so he would sacrifice his own body. He would pay my death that I owed. But Pastor, I'm going to believe on Jesus Christ. I'm going to trust him here today. My friend, if you're doing that, I'd like to pray for you. Only way I know to pray for you is just ask you to slip up your hand. And by that, you'd be telling me, I'm believing on Jesus Christ. I'm going to trust him to give me salvation, to give me a home in heaven. And I want you to know about it, Pastor, and I want you to pray about it. Now, again, me praying for you is not going to get you to heaven. Believing what Jesus did, believing the gospel, the good news of what Jesus did for us, that's what's going to get us to heaven. But maybe you're here this morning and just say, Pastor, I've never heard it put like that, and I've never believed on Jesus Christ. Today, I'm going to believe on Jesus Christ to be my way to heaven. I want you to know about it, that you can pray for me. Anybody like that? Here, I'd slip up my hand. Pastor, I want you to pray for me. Yeah, I see that hand. Good. Anybody else? Here's my hand, Pastor. I'm praying. I want you to pray for me that I'm believing on Jesus Christ here this morning. Second question, maybe I can ask you this. Maybe you've answered the call of salvation, but you'd say simply this, Pastor, I haven't answered that call of service. Maybe you're like those people in Luke chapter number 9, and you said, boy, I'll follow Jesus. And you thought, boy, I'll do that. But you realize, I'm not doing it. But I need to answer that call. I need to be a follower of Jesus. I need to be answering that call of service and telling other people about Jesus like Matthew wanted to tell other people about Jesus and bring them to Jesus. Pastor, would you pray for me? I want to answer the call of service here this morning. I want you to know about it. I want you to pray for me. Here's my hand. Anybody like that here this morning? Pastor, I want to answer the call of service. I haven't done it. I need to do it. Pray for me. Good. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you so much for the Word of God, Lord, that teaches us the truths of which we need to know. For this one, Lord, that is answering that call of salvation, Lord, the way to have eternal life through Jesus and through Jesus alone. We thank you and we praise you for them, Lord. I pray that they would come to even understand more about what you've done in their lives. Lord, for some of us here today, Lord, that may not have answered that call of service, Lord, I pray that we would be involved in that. Lord, we'd be willing to pay the cost, whatever the cost, because, Father, it's worthy. You are worthy to give our lives to. I pray that we do just that. We thank you again for the power of the Word of God, for what we've seen here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.